Welcome back again to BadQuaker.com. This is podcast number 38. Number 38 is the 38th podcast. English, it's so confusing. And today is Thursday, October 20th, 2011. This month is just screaming by. I have just been so busy. I want to apologize for all the missed podcasts and the missed podcasts and missed articles that I haven't got to put up. I've said this before in the last few weeks, but in dealing with the family emergency that's come up with my wife's mother traveling cross country, it's been kind of hectic for all of us. So I don't really have a lot for today, but I did want to touch a couple of things. One thing I wanted to talk about was an odd trend that I was seeing. I'm over in Google Insights, which is an aspect of Google where you can you can see things, for instance, like what are the most frequent searches that people are doing in Google currently, and you can pick out time frames, last 30 days, last 60 days, or a specific time frame, and you can compare certain words against other words so that you can find out, like, for instance, the one on the screen right now, I'm comparing the word liberal to the word libertarian. So the question is, how many recent searches in the last 30 days worldwide on Google have included the word liberal, and how many have included the word libertarian? And we have about a 4-to-1 ratio. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, about a 4.5-to-1 ratio. More people are searching liberal than are searching libertarian. Now, that's kind of interesting, because if I substitute the word liberal for conservative, and I see what the search is going to be like. For liberal to conservative, now remember, from libertarian to liberal, there were about 4-to-1 more people searching for liberal than libertarian. But under libertarian compared to conservative, about a third are searching for libertarian, and about two-thirds are searching for conservative. So it's a 2-to-1 balance. Now let's go conservative to liberal. Conservative to liberal, liberals are being searched on about twice as often as conservatives are. So again, what we have is far more interest worldwide in the word liberal than conservative or libertarian. Let's try anarchy. Anarchist. We'll try anarchist. Anarchist to liberal. And what we get there is no comparison. The liberal, Google shows us the number of searches for liberal, and to try to get it on the scale, anarchist doesn't even show up. So comparing the searches for liberal as opposed to anarchist, let's try anarchy. Maybe that will be better. Not a chance. It actually appears on the chart, it appears with liberal just barely still on the chart towards the top, and anarchy just barely the blue line at the very bottom of the chart. So again, the comparison, well, there's no comparison. It's just almost zero for anarchy proportionately to the number of people who are searching for the word liberal. Let's try anarchy to conservative. See how that searches out. Hope this is not too boring for you folks. It's just some stuff I was playing around with here. Anarchy does a little bit better compared to conservative, but still the vast majority is in the range of conservative. I would say about 5, 1, two, three, four, five, six, seven, about 7-1, about 7-1 searching for conservative over anarchy. This is a very sad state of affairs, I would say. How about anarcho-capitalism? And socialism. Oh, sad day for the ANCAPs. Oh, they're tearing us up, folks. Tearing us up. Anarcho-capitalism is the straight line on the bottom of the chart, essentially zero. Of course, it's not zero, but it's in proportion to the chart. It's a non-measurable amount. And, of course, socialism pegs the chart out. Let's try socialism to capitalism. We should get some hate at least on Oh, look at this. Now we're talking apples and apples. They're almost at a dead heat, and you look at back through the historical chart, and they crisscross each other constantly. Capitalism and socialism. Capitalism and socialism. Well, of course, that's obvious. Someone who's interested in capitalism would also want to search for socialism, and someone who's interested in socialism would also want to search for capitalism. So that's logical. So what good is this thing? Well, it's a toy, of course. It's a toy. But it's also an interesting tool to kind of, you can kind of get a judge of some of the things that are going on within the same thing. This is Google Insights. And with it, you can find out what the hottest search is in the last 24 hours, or what the hottest search is in the last, any whatever time frames that you want to search within, and different categories and whatever. And it's particularly interesting if you were, let's say, setting up a website and trying to sell something. And let's say you're selling plastic widgets, and so you put in plastic widgets and see what the search trends are for plastic widgets, and then you find out nobody wants plastic widgets. Well, what if we say new and improved? All right, everybody wants new and improved. And so it's a tool that you can use like that. Again, it's called Google Insights. It's not a commercial for Google. It's just something I was playing around with, and I was seeing how little interest there is worldwide in Google searches in the things that are important to specifically to me, as opposed to other things. Like, let's do a crazy one. Let's say anarchism. And let's say, I don't know. I was going to put in a pop star, but I'm so out of touch, I don't know of any pop stars. So let's say, I was going to say a movie star, but I'm so out of touch, I can't think of any current movie stars. And people like Humphrey Bogart don't count. Let's try Humphrey Bogart. How does anarchism match up to Humphrey Bogart? Not at all. Neither one shows a significant hit. How sad. If Bogart were around, he was fairly liberal in his day, but I think if he were around, I think he'd be pretty upset with the current worldwide liberals. Okay, well, so enough wasting time with that. Let's get to something I actually did want to have some intelligent discussion about. I was on Facebook a couple days ago or something, and somebody linked to a cute little cartoon. And the particular person who linked to it, I have a great amount of respect for. So I thought, oh, look, a good anarchy cartoon. So I clicked on it. It goes over to YouTube. And here's this story of sort of an overview of civilization. And it's got the nice musical person singing in the background and la 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 la. And it's a cute little story of sort of an overview of how we got to where we are and where we're going to. And it starts with, it shows a caveman, and it shows another caveman, and the caveman kills a caveman, and then a dinosaur comes up and tries to eat the other caveman, and it's basically saying that there was this brutish struggle of all against all. And then it shows cavemen living in a cave and having to protect their cave with spears. And it's very, very dramatic. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, just like, ding, hey, let's get along. And so they decided to cooperate. We're going to cooperate. And so then there was prosperity. And so because as long as there was prosperity, everything was going great. And then they decided to form organizations, and it shows them all lined up in military units holding their spears, and it shows them in front of a set of wooden palisades or fortification with what appears to be cannon sticking out of the fort, which is a little odd for caveman guys with spears to also have cannon sticking out of a palisade fort. But that's just a slight hint of how wrong this video is. And then as the video progresses, it's got a it says, well, then they needed some form of dispute resolution. And so then it shows like a court, like a Supreme Court looking type thing. And then it shows a fancy building with Roman columns and a judge making a decision. And then it says, and then it progresses to say, it gives us somehow the state got out of control and took things over, and now things are bad, and it's mean, and the state is mean. And then the state collapses, and it falls apart. And then it shows a guy running through the streets, and there's violence, and there's anger. And now we have to figure out how to have peaceful cooperation again. And I watched this whole video, and I just thought, oh, no, this is so wrong. This is the state's version of what happened. This is the Hobbesian lie. This is the lie that the state has put on us for years. This is not what Augustus told us. This is not what Aquinas told us. This is not what Rothbard told us. This is not what Locke told us. This is not the way it happened. The archaeological evidence does not support that myth of history. The state wants it to support that myth of history. The archaeologists who are employed by the state and who are employed by universities that get their funding from the state, they go and they dig up archaeological sites and they record real facts, the real stuff, and then they translate that to somehow come across with this goofy story that men formed the state to do good, and then somehow, mysteriously, the state turned bad on us. Oh, no. No. This is a lie. This is a lie of the state. This is a lie created specifically to control you, and to control me, and to control millions of other people throughout history. It's a lie. Now, think about this for a minute. Let's go back to this cartoon. I may put a link to it, but, you know, I don't want to put a link on the website to it for a couple reasons. I don't want my website, well, it's not even mine. I'm a squatter here. I volunteer my contributions to this website, and I get no compensation back for it or anything else, and the website could be closed at any time because it doesn't belong to me. So it's not my website, so I shouldn't talk about it like that. But I appreciate the website as a platform for me to speak on. Anyway, sorry, not the point. back to the point. I don't want badquaker.com putting traffic towards that video, that cartoon that's based on lies. And I don't want somebody who's just casually surfing through the internet to bump across badquaker.com and go to that and think that I endorse it in some way, because it's entirely wrong. So I'm not even going to put a link to the cartoon. It's not worth the odd occurrence that, oh, look, we might get traffic. I'm sure if you want to see it bad enough, you can figure out a way to Google it or something. But anyway, I'm sorry, I'm not going to put a link to it. But in the cartoon, in the beginning of the cartoon, the image that we see is we have one caveman hiding behind a rock, and another caveman sneaks up behind him and spears him in the back and kills him. All right, now, let's consider the animal kingdom. Consider any particular species. Specifically, humans are omnivores, we're opportunists, and we're omnivores. We're fairly adaptable in our diet. But essentially, we will eat leaves and berries and bugs and small creatures And if the opportunity arises to eat a larger creature, we will eat that. On the other hand, humans are not a normal, natural part of our diet. And that's the case with most mammals. Most, let's say, hyenas. Hyenas don't survive by eating other hyenas. Let's take it more towards something that's a little bit more omnivorous. Wolves can eat a variety of food. Bears can eat a variety. Bears are very, very opportunist in their diet. Most bears are. Some bears are very specific, like panda bears and polar bears. But most bear species are omnivores and they're opportunists. So they just as soon have a, let's say, bag of marshmallows to a nice fresh salmon. They can work either way, you know. They're adaptable, like humans. And here's what you rarely see among bears. It happens sometimes with polar bears, but again, polar bears are a very unique circumstance, and their food supply is much different than other species of bears. So other than the one-offs, like your pandas or your polar bears, most bears don't eat other bears. Bears are not a part of their diet. Even grizzlies running across brown bears, or, you know, one species of black bear encountering another species of black bear, a Kodiak encountering a grizzly, or if something like this happens, there may be conflict, but you're rarely going to see actual murder, and you're almost never going to see one devouring the other. Generally speaking, any conflicts that take place within a species like that, bears, wolves, hyenas, lions, whatever, you name it, whatever, we're talking about mammals, and we're specifically talking about carnivores and omnivores. Whenever there's a conflict between adult mammals in this sense, it's typically something like breeding rights, property, what we might consider property rights or territorial rights. It might be fighting over a kill, fighting over a food supply of some kind. But it will be a conflict for the purpose of one showing dominance over the other for a specific property or for breeding rights or for something like that. Leadership within a clan, leadership within a tribe, leadership within a pack, leadership within a family structure. What you almost never see in nature is one animal within a species sneaking up and killing, murdering another animal within the same species. It almost never happens. Now, there is the occasional upper mammal with some kind of brain damage or something that can turn bad and do something stupid because it's not sane, or it's diseased, it has rabies or something like this. But of the typical situation that you're going to see, you're not going to see a mammal stalking and killing another mammal that's within its same species and its same family and its same genus and all that. You're just not going to see it. It doesn't happen. On the rare occasion that it happens, it's a one-off and it's a weird circumstance that is way out of the norm. So then why would we believe humans behave this way? You say, oh, well, we have archaeological evidence of humans fighting. Ha-ha, hold on. There are a lot of reasons why one animal can confront another animal. Now, I've written about this before. I have an article, I'll link to it. I can't remember the name of it, but it's something about natural law. And it's comparing just the typical yard animals that a person might see in their front yard or their backyard. And I'm talking about things like sparrows and wrens and blue jays and squirrels and things like that. And you just observe these in their natural setting, and you watch how they react with each other and how they interact with each other, and then you get to understand a little bit what primal man would have been like, because man is another species. We have a different level of intelligence. We have some advantages that they don't have. They have some advantages we don't have. It'd be nice if I could fly, but But the interaction within these groups, so for example, in the article that I wrote, I was talking about Blue Jays. Blue Jays have a very complex society that they live in, and they have very defined social rankings, and they have very specific rules that they live by, and occasionally you'll find a Blue Jay that will cheat on these rules, but typically the Blue Jays stick pretty close with the rules. And one of the things, in years of watching Blue Jays, I've never seen Blue Jays kill another Blue Jay. I've never observed that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen or it can't happen. I'm saying in years of observing Blue Jays on an almost daily basis, I have never seen one Blue Jay or a group of Blue Jays kill another Blue Jay. Now, they fight, but their fights are mostly show. Their fights are, in very worst situation, a jump in the air and a kick or two and maybe one or two pecks at the other one, but not necessarily striking them. Now, that's the Blue Jay. If you consider then the sparrow in the same yard, in the same setting, I have seen a gang of sparrows. I've seen one sparrow that breaks their, whatever their code is, whatever, some infraction that is not obvious to the observer. Some sparrow will break a rule for some reason, and the other sparrows will come down on it with almost frantic fury, and they will beat that sparrow to death. They will chase it, they will fall upon it, they will take turns attacking it, and they will kill that sparrow. But this is a one-off situation, and it's very clearly something that sparrow did that violated some type of rule that they have. Now, we typically don't accredit animals like that with that level of intelligence, but to any bird watcher who's really watched birds, you know birds are amazingly smart. Now, I also talked about squirrels in that same article, and the fact that I had years on almost daily basis that I have observed and interacted with squirrels, and real squirrel fights, real fights where the squirrels seriously are trying to harm each other, are extremely rare. In the vast majority of the cases, most squirrel fights are either play related, mating, dominance related, or are for show. They are bravado and a lot of posturing and perhaps a surprise jump and push it at another squirrel, and then they chase each other in a circle and then they break it up. They almost never go into a serious fight. It happens sometimes, but it's very rare. And I have never, ever, ever seen a squirrel or a group of squirrels kill another squirrel. It never happens that I have ever observed. Now, so what this tells me is that each animal grouping has different laws that regulate their particular group. And within some animals, like what I was talking about, the sparrows, capital punishment is an aspect of their nature. It's an aspect. It's perfectly part of what they do. On the other hand, you simply don't see that in the Blue Jays. Now, you would think, well, what's the difference between a bird and a bird? It's a bird. Well, the nesting characteristics are different. The flocking characteristics are different. The two species are vastly different from each other. And so they have vastly different laws. And how do these laws, how do we know, where did these laws come from? They came from eons of time of the species learning what it took for that species to continue. In other words, failed natural legal processes were probably tried in each of those species. And those that followed those failed processes died, did not reproduce, did not propagate, and are gone. So the legal characteristics that you see within the Blue Jay natural law framework work for the Blue Jays. You can tell because they're still alive, they're still around, they're still making more Blue Jays. And the totally opposite rules and laws that the sparrows live by. Work for the sparrows, and you know it works for the sparrows because there are sparrows. On the other hand, there are no pterodactyls. And there may be a reason for that, like, oh, a meteor hit, or oh, there was a disease, or whatever. But it's just as plausible to say with any particular species that is no longer living, that is extinct, it's just as plausible to say with any other species, well, they became extinct because they did not adapt their natural laws in a way that propagated their species, that overcame whatever burden it was that their species faced. Now, mankind, just like all those other species, all through man's history, including today, including the history that we're creating moment by moment right now, mankind has experimented with forms of law. And some work and propagate our species, and some do not. Some are detrimental to our species. So, for example, if everyone took on the characteristics of, say, a Charles Manson and behaved as a Charles Manson, very quickly there would be no humans. How do we know that we can trust our neighbor? How do we know that in a perfect anarchical society, well, first off, there is no utopia. There's never been a utopia that, you know, other than we have some type of like an Eden or something, whether or not a real Eden actually exists, we can debate something like that. But as far as actually putting your hands on and proving and saying, right here, this is, here's a perfect utopian society, one never existed and one likely will never exist within the actual physical life of human beings. But under real anarchy, which is what humans existed under all throughout history when they were not under the thumb of the state, real anarchy is not violent, is not man against man, is not brute against brute, is not Hobbesian all against all. If it were, there would be no humans. We would have all Charles Mansoned ourselves out into extinction. So this is a basic set of evidence that we know that this Hobbesian idea that without the state, men are just constantly at each other's throat, and that we have to figure out some way to negotiate and become traders and peaceful, trading one with one another and peaceful. That we have to sit down and sign pacts, or sign constitutions, or sign Magna Cartas to try to force everybody to behave in a certain way. That's not natural, that's not how we developed, and that's the lie of the state. We have had to have compacts, and contracts, and constitutions, and Magna Cartas because the state was there, and we had to try and struggle and hold the state down and fight with the state and keep it in under control. That's why those documents had to exist. Not because mankind needed those to exist. Out away from the state, we exist just fine without those compacts and contracts. I wonder if the sound of that cricket came across on the microphone. Hopefully more people are listening to that than that one cricket. Anyway, so back to the video. Is it a big deal in this cartoon video that it starts out with the Hobbesian all against all, and then we try to figure this out? Oh, look, we can work together and we can make society work. No, that's the Hobbesian lie. That's the lie of the state. That's what the state wants you to believe. The true nature of man, like the true nature of blue jays, and like the true nature of sparrows, and like the true nature of squirrels, and bears, and aardvarks, and orangutans, the true nature of man is to follow the natural laws that are unique to our species. But man decided some 9,000-10,000 years ago that he could take other men into captivity and that he could live off the sweat of other men by holding them under certain laws that he had made. And when man decides that he will take upon himself the role of lawgiver, he takes upon himself that position, that whatever it is that's created man, whether you believe in a central being, a god or a creator or whatever, or if you believe that man was a product of eons of evolution, whatever it is that you believe produced man to be what he is, that gave man a certain set of laws. And yet man took it upon himself to supersede those laws and become that lawgiver. Now, to the religious, that should be blatantly blasphemous. To the non-religious, it should become illogical. You should say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why should we obey the state's laws when the state is against that which has produced us? Nature, if you believe in the whole evolutionary process, nature, through the processes of evolution, have brought us to this point. Why abandon it and decide that man can manage our future? It would be better to abandon man's laws and embrace the natural laws that have got us this far. And again, if you're the religious type, the other side of this coin is God the lawgiver got tossed out when man decided that he could ascend on high and he could be the lawgiver and he would take the place of God and he would be seated as God. That's the difference between the state and natural law. And the tendency of man, the natural reaction of man in a natural law setting, is not to fall upon each other and devour one another. The natural state of man is to try to find a way to work with other men and survive. That's what we did. That's what we've done through eons of time, and that's how we got to where we are today. And it's only recently that the state has come in. There's this myth. There's this ongoing, constant myth, and it gets so frustrating that let's just take a particular moment in time. Let's say somebody's talking about, ooh, the evil Dark Ages, and it was so horrible during the Dark Ages, and bad things were happening, and then we somehow got enlightened, and then we got modern, and we came into the modern age, and things are so much more better now that we have the state. And of course, there was a state back then, but it wasn't to the maturity that it is now. But keep this in mind. Technology has changed. Business has changed. Economy has changed. And all those things have improved, but all those things are not the realm of the state. Those things are the realm of the private economy, and the state only tries to infect them and feed off of them. The state itself is more oppressive today than it has ever been in history. Now you say, oh no, but what about Rome when they were crucifying people and feeding them to the lions? Well, I don't know. 1945, 1947, we were cooking a lot of people. A lot more than lived in Rome. You think about that for a minute. The state murdered more people in the 20th century than existed in most of history. The state killed them. How many people did the Roman Republic kill for sport or for using their domination, or even after Rome became an empire? How many people were killed compared to, let's say, how many people did Mao kill? How many people were killed in Cambodia? How many people did Stalin starve in the Ukraine? How does that compare with Rome? At what point In medieval history, people talk about, oh, well, what about the Spanish Inquisition? The Spanish Inquisition was not a fun time. I'm not trying to change history here. But the Spanish Inquisition was a tiny little localized whisper of time and a whisper of activity in the bigger scheme of things. More people are being tortured right now during this podcast as I'm speaking these words. More human beings are being tortured right now in the world than were being tortured the entire time of the Spanish Inquisition. A lot of lies exist about the Spanish Inquisition. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm saying once it happened, it became a propaganda tool to beat up the Catholic Church with. And it's been used throughout the ages to do that. I'm not here to defend the Catholic Church. I'm just telling the facts. I don't particularly love the Catholic Church over any other organization. As a Quaker, I have no affiliation to any organization, even Quakers. I don't affiliate with other Quakers. That's how crazy Quaker I am. So I'm not here to defend the Catholic Church. I'm here to defend the truth, and the truth is there are a lot of lies about the Spanish Inquisition. And as I said a second ago, there are more people being tortured right now while my voice is being put on this podcast, more people are being tortured in the world today than in the entire Spanish Inquisition. So when we think about ages past and how oppressive the state must have been at this time or at that time, it's nothing compared to what the state is doing now. Keep this in mind. It was not a radical statement in the 1700s to say, a man's house is his castle. That was not a radical statement. Because it was true. But it's not true today. Anywhere. Where in the world is a man's home his castle and the state cannot just march in and drag him out? Where is that? I'd like to know. So this myth that the state... That we were less oppressed before, and now we have a constitution, so things are much better now. No, not true. In the United States, oppression has gotten worse since the Constitution. Prior to the Constitution, people were pretty free. The Constitution gave the state authorization to do things it couldn't do before. I've gone through that before, talking about the Whiskey Rebellion and talking about how Washington, against the Constitution, rose an army up with the excuse that he was going to go into the old Northwest Territory and fight the Indians. And in fact, he didn't. He went into Pennsylvania and attacked American citizens. But anyway, not going to get off on that again. So let's get back to that cartoon. So the problem in believing this Hobbesian myth that people are just beasts and they're savages and that without some kind of organization we'll fall upon each other. Point number one is, if it's not true, then it's a lie. And if it's a lie, it's destructive. Okay, so it's not true. It's just not true. And if it's not true, we shouldn't promote that. And then the idea that is... If or when the state falls, then we'll have to relearn how to have commerce again. We'll have to relearn how to trade peaceably. Well, I don't think so. I think that's part of our nature. I think it's just like the way with squirrels. A squirrel will, out of his own nature, will try to squirrel away food for the winter. If he'll fill his belly, and if there's still food, he will immediately start taking that food and stashing it in places. Because it's built within his brain work that this needs to be done. And humans are like that. It's built within our brain work that we need to function with other humans to get stuff done. We do this. It's our nature. We constantly seek to have a better life. And the best way to get a better life is to work with other humans. And so we do. That's our nature. We don't have to be taught that. As a matter of fact, the less we're taught, the more that tendency comes out. So for the sake of truth, it's important that we spot these lies when they're brought to us. And for the sake of truth, it's important that we point these lies out and that we find out what the truth is and that we embrace that truth and not allow ourselves to be distracted by, you know, myths and lies of the state that are slipped in carefully by honest people. Sometimes these are very honest people. They just don't know. And that's why we have to, among ourselves, point these lies out and point these myths out and help each other grow and help each other get stronger. Anyway, thanks again, folks. I just wanted to throw that out this morning and get that out of my head before... you know, you wake up and sometimes there's just spider webs rattle around in there and you got to just knock them out. So I hope I didn't bore you too bad with my silliness about Google tools. And I hope I didn't bore you too bad with my story about the little cartoon. But I just want to get that out. I probably should have taken more time and come up with a better topic and given you a better podcast. But again, go back to my excuse. This month and last month have just been really hectic with trying to deal with the family issues and all the cascading events that go with a tragedy like this in your family. Just trying to deal with all of it there's just layer after, there always seems to be something you're not getting done, and you're constantly trying to cover all the bases, and you just never quite can be in all the places you need to be at the same time. It's very frustrating. And again, I'm sorry to drag all that out. But anyway, thank you very much, folks. I appreciate your patience with us in this last couple months, and hopefully we'll get everything back to a normal pace pretty soon. And we will strive to continue to bring you podcasts and articles about liberty and the zero aggression principle and property rights. Thanks a lot. BadQuaker.com. Keep listening. And drop me an email. Just, you know, Ben at BadQuaker.com. Drop me an email. Let me throw this in real quick. If anybody's still listening, because I've already signed off twice now. Sometimes I talk about people, our listeners in Australia and our listeners in South Korea and our listeners in, Puerto Rico and I can't remember the others. And then sometimes I talk about Germany and I talk about England, and we had a bunch of downloads coming out of the Netherlands recently. But sometimes I forget to mention that the vast majority of the listeners are in the U.S. We're talking about well over 98% of the listeners are in the U.S. and the most faithful downloaders are in the U.S. and with the statistics that a website provides you don't know a lot about who is visiting your website, but you know a couple things. Like, I know somebody in Mississippi is listening, and I know somebody in Idaho is a very regular listener, and I know somebody in Yuba City is listening, and I know that there's somebody in Pennsylvania that's listening, and there's a real faithful listener in Omaha. I know these things, but that's all I know. I just know that somebody from that area of the country is regularly visiting and downloading the websites. So, you know, when I don't mention, I know we have some very faithful listeners in Canada that very repeatedly visit the website and download. And I want you to know I appreciate you. Even when I don't specifically mention you, I do appreciate you. And if you feel like it, drop me a line, ben@badquaker.com, and just let me know you're there and you're listening. And if you have a topic that you'd like for me to cover, just put it in there, and I'll see what I can do for you. Thanks very much, folks. And hopefully, I mentioned this yesterday on the podcast, but we are still lined up to interview Robert Higgs this week, and we probably won't be able to broadcast it until Monday or Tuesday of next week, but we're really excited about that. That's big time stuff. Okay, thanks a lot, folks. Ben@bedquaker.com. Bye.